Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Stephanie Benetti. Welcome to our show, Second Sight NYC. It's Wednesday, February 23rd, 2011. It's 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm here with my co-host, psychic medium Chris George. Hi, Chris.
What's going on, Steph?
How's it going?
It's going just fine and dandy.
Fine and dandy, that's my phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, so I'd like to thank our guest last week, which was Lisa Johnson. She was a psychic detective we discussed in depth. I mean, it was a very good show.
She was one of my favorite guests ever.
Yeah, so thanks, Lisa, for joining us last week. You were great, and we got a lot of positive feedback. And you should mention what Lisa's doing now. She'll be on Joyce's show.
Oh, yeah, she's going to be on our...
You just looked at me.
I had no idea where you were going with that. We have a world-famous guest that's been on our show many times. Her name is Joyce Keller. You guys can check her out at joycekeller.com. And Lisa just got an invite to be a guest on Joyce's show, which is, you know, really saying something. So she only takes on the best, and we recommend Lisa, and she's going to be doing her show, I think, the 19th or the 13th. When I see what it is, I'll mention it.
She's in the chat room right now, so maybe she'll let us know.
Okay.
Oh, she's saying she's so excited about it. So additionally, we are on UFOParanormalRadio.com on Thursdays at 9 p.m. It's basically, at this point in time, it's just a re-airing of tonight's show.
Right.
There, it streams.
Yeah, but we're getting over 8,000 downloads a week on our show on UFO Paranormal Radio.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
Yeah, we're kicking butt over there.
So tonight, we have, as usual, the email dream readings. If time permits, we're going to take a caller or two. I always say that. It doesn't always happen. Hopefully tonight we can make that happen. We also have what we referred to last week as the Psychic Minute, and last week I think I said I'm going to wind up renaming this, which...
And we did.
Which has happened. It's now Rapid Reading.
Rapid Fire Readings.
Rapid Fire Readings, and that's basically the newest segment that we have. We encourage everyone to send your dreams to us for psychic interpretations, and we've actually have repeat people now who send us their dreams, and some of them are a bit long.
You think?
But most importantly, I'd like some psychic questions, and you want to talk about the special you do have?
Yeah, I have a special going on right now on my website, www.secondsightnyc.webs.com, and I'm doing one email question for $5, so go check it out. We did a bunch this week. We did a lot this week.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, who are you kidding?
keep them coming.
So we also want to talk about the Shanley event later on in the show, which is in Napanock, New York, which is coming up in April.
Coming up April 2nd, and we actually have two slots open. So, and this is going to be exciting because we're going to be videotaping it for our upcoming DVD. So we're real excited about that.
And tonight our guest, who we're interviewing, he runs a building, the Haunted Bisman. His name is Ellis Bird. He'll be on with us in a bit after we do our first dream interpretation. And I say it a lot, but, you know, we do receive a lot of emails and we have a lot of callers, and we love to try and get back to everyone, but it doesn't always happen that way. But you can always contact us on Blog Talk Radio. It has an email functionality. On Facebook, under Second Sight Para, myself, Stephanie Benetti, or Chris George Cirillo on Facebook.
Yeah, you could friend one, two, or all three of us.
We appreciate all of our listeners. We have a new improved website.
Yeah, the website is kicking butt. It's top notch, I feel, and Stephanie actually did the whole website, and she actually builds websites, so check it out. If you need somebody to build a website, give Stephanie a call. She does a really, really good job.
Yeah, I'm actually working on two right now. And Chris's website is www.secondsightnyc.webs.com. It's full of information. And you could always click follow on Blog Talk Radio to know when we have an upcoming show. So I'd just like to go right into dream number one, which is Angela. And this is a repeat dreamer,
right.
What have you.
And she actually put me to the test with this one. It was kind of long, and I was getting more psychic impressions than dream interpretation on this one, but let's see how it goes.
Okay, so Angela's dream goes like this, and I believe she's from the UK. We do get a lot of people
from
the UK.
From the UK.
She said, "Hiya, I had a dream interpretation from you a few months ago, and it was pretty accurate. I would like another if you can fit me in. The other night I dreamt I was walking and suddenly turned into water. It was weird. My whole body evaporated and I was part of the sea, river, lake, puddle. I can't be precise, although I felt part of something greater. I tried thinking and the only thing that came to my mind was that I was okay. I felt no discomfort or thoughts of any kind. I just felt peace. Not long after, my sleep was interrupted. I saw a child being physically abused in a disturbing way. His father was beating him on the head and telling him to be quiet. The child's reaction created a reaction in me. I felt overwhelmed with anger. I told the father what I thought, and then lots of people tried to justify his actions and were telling me that the father was angry. And in parentheses, I saw my dead brother and sister who both killed themselves and were very angry with me. I remember saying, I don't care. The father needs to sort himself out. No child should suffer. After that, lots of people approached me and told me that they were glad I was so honest. I then went on to a forest and stumbled through some trees. And she says, I know it's a lot to decipher, although
you
I be-
think?
although there's one part that I'm finding very hard to decipher. Although would be very grateful for your interpretation, and that's Angela.
Well, what part were you finding hard to decipher? The evaporation part?
No, just please give me.
I'm curious to know.
I saw my dead brother and sister, who both killed themselves, and were angry with me.
Okay. All right. Well, this is what I get. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, Angela, this is for you. What is the living essence of the psyche and the flow of energy? It's also symbolic of spirituality, knowledge, and healing. I'm picking up some reluctance and hesitation in proceeding forward in some situation in your life. When you evaporate, that shows that you understand what's happening to you and are able to deal with your emotions. You felt peace because resolution is coming. One cycle is ending and a new one is beginning. I also feel that a new level of stability is in your near future. Seeing the kid being beaten tells me that some part of your life is out of balance. The anger symbolizes frustration and disappointment. Dreams function as a safe outlet where you can express your strong or negative emotions. You are suppressing your anger and aggression instead of consciously acknowledging them. Seeing dead siblings shows that you miss them. Their anger towards you shows a negative feeling they may have had with you. You really didn't care what they thought because you had a goal in mind. Your determination represents your ambition and realization of your goals. You're doing what you know is right, and you won't let others impose restrictions on you. When other people are happy with what you did, it shows you deserve some recognition. The forest shows a transitional phase in your life. Follow your instincts and don't be careless. Walk cautiously, but with a purpose.
Okay. Well, we know Angela gives good feedback, or gives it promptly, for that matter.
Right.
And it was very positive last time, so hopefully she'll come back to us and let us know what she thought.
I feel pretty good about that dream interpretation.
That was quite a dream. I'm going to bring on the line our guest tonight, which is Ellis Bird from the Haunted Bisman Building. Ellis, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, Ellis. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay, thanks. Just getting through the days, that's all. It's a bit cold
yeah,
out here, you know that.
So, Ellis, I always like to start with the basics. It just, you know, paint the picture for our listeners. And, you know, the basics would be, you know, we're going to talk about you a bit and where you're from and, you know, whatever else you'd like to tell us about yourself, just to start it off.
Yeah, so my name is Ellis Bird, originally from Swindon, England, which is awfully close to Stonehenge and Avery Stone Circles, and came to America in 1986. Had quite a few paranormal experiences when I was a lot younger in Britain. We had a case of my very first experience was when I witnessed what appeared to be a man stood in the middle of the road when I was in the back seat with my mum and dad driving. And we came to a stop because he was on a country windy lane in Britain, and my dad sort of stopped. The man was in the road. He turned on the full beams of his headlights, and the man disappeared. So that was my very first experience.
And how old were you?
I was probably about 5 or 6. I do remember it vividly.
So at 5 or 6, you were already hooked on the paranormal, correct?
Well, it was funny because my parents didn't say a thing about it, but coming from the southwest of England, I used to live in a village called Pluckley. If anybody ever watched Ghost Hunters International a few seasons ago, they actually did a whole show on the village of Pluckley, supposed to be the most haunted village in Britain. And, you know, when you're growing up, people will constantly say, hey, don't go down to the quarries. You know, don't go here because, you know, there's a headless horseman or, you know, there's demons, there's monsters down here. And it's all over. That's what you're told when you're kids. So you sort of grow up with it.
You know, England, England is really known for hauntings and haunted places and psychics and very, very well known for the paranormal, much more so than the U.S., I believe.
Yeah, I would even go as far as saying it's much more accepted.
Way more accepted.
Because people have so many occurrences or experiences for that matter.
Could be.
So,
yeah,
the Bisman building.
Yes. The Bisman building. I came over in 1986 and I've been here, always had this interest. And about 6-7 years ago, I got this interest in haunted locations around central Ohio. I live in Columbus, Ohio. And so I was lucky enough to pick up a location in a town called Marysville, which was an old Civil War doctor's house, which is now a very classy restaurant, and they basically invited me in to do a talk over the Halloween period while all these people were eating their four-course meals, and we wanted to talk about hauntings of his location, and that was basically how I got my start. And then after that, we ended up one day I was heading up towards Mansfield, Ohio, which is in north central Ohio, and driving along, and we passed this really huge Gothic-looking building. And I sort of, it sort of stands out. It's like a sore thumb in the downtown Mansfield area. It doesn't fit. And I look at it, and I thought, man, that looks familiar to me. I couldn't figure it out. It was like I'd been there before, but I hadn't. So we go around the building, and we were lucky enough to catch one of the workers there. We come to find out that the Bisman building was actually the halfway house, the Brewer Hotel, in the movie Shawshank Redemption.
Right.
So when Brooks and Red got out of prison and they got the jobs in the grocery store, that was where they stayed. It was actually in the Bisman building. And to this day, it still has the original awning on it that says Brewer Hotel. So,
and how old is
it, Phil? It's 125 years old this year. It was built in 1886.
I'd like you just to quote your website for our listeners because they can actually look at the site and the building itself while we have this discussion, if you don't mind. Could you just quote your website?
Yeah, it's www.bismanbuilding.com, and Bisman is B-I-S-S-M-A-N, bismanbuilding.com. You'll go on there, you'll notice immediately when you open up the website that Ghost Hunters were there and filmed there. And I'm very much lucky enough to just recently come back from California from filming my ghost story for A&E. And there's a couple. Yeah, that's going to be on this season in the spring, they told me. And we have two others in the works, and unfortunately, I hate to say I can't talk about those at the moment,
maybe when it happens, we can talk about
it. Yeah, we
it.
Won't force you, Alice. So we did happen to listen to a few of your EVPs. I didn't get them online with us tonight, but we just, which was the one in particular that, I think it said Mommy or something?
No,
or?
Not Mommy. It was something with, you put me on the spot.
I know I did.
I know which one you're talking
Myra?
About.
Which one was that, Alice?
You're probably talking about the one that says, Mommy, help me.
That
is
the one. Yes,
it
was Mommy. That was chilling, actually.
It was very good.
Well, let me fill you in on the story a little bit, okay, so people know what you're talking about. The Bisman building, once we got into the location, Now, I'm basically always have been a form of promoter. And, of course, I got the interest in the paranormal. So what I did was approach the owner, Ben Bisman, of the building, and said, I think, you know, we could put on tours for you. So Ben told me right from day one, he's not going to tell me a thing about what goes on in the building. He said, you can come in, and if you're really good at what you do and the people that you invite in are good, you will sooner or later figure out the story. 3.5 years later, we've basically come up with a story, which has now been proven to be true, is that there was a little girl in the Bisman family. Her name was Ruthie. And unfortunately, she was raped and murdered in the building when she was 8 years old.
Wow.
And, yeah, to make a long story short, she was raped and murdered in the basement, and we believe dumped in a big barrel and stored in this barrel.
Wow.
And sooner or later, shortly thereafter, it was discovered the man that did this to this child, he was discovered. And back in the very early 1900s, they took it into their own hands to take care of this individual. And when he was traveling up the freight elevator, which is one of those old open-style elevators, some individual, we believe, or the story has it, he went to hit the stop button on the elevator, but now we believe somebody pushed him and he was decapitated on the third floor of the building.
Let me ask you a question.
Gruesome.
Has anybody ever come into your place and actually channeled any of these spirits?
Yes, yes. We've had some very famous individuals come in, and it's funny because we did it secretively. We didn't let anybody know anybody was coming, and that's the way they wanted to keep it. So we just went with that. But, yeah, and this is how we learned these stories, was from people channeling. And we didn't just have one individual. We actually had three over a period of 2 years.
Really?
And
I would love to come down there and do some channeling in that place myself.
Well,
love that.
You're always welcome. You're always welcome, because the more information we can get, the stronger this story is. So to get back to what we originally were talking about, the EVPs, we've had tons and tons, literally hundreds of EVPs come out of this building, very clear, very top end. And one of the most recent ones absolutely put chills down my spine. And that's hard to do because I deal with these ghosts every day, you know.
Right.
I'm sitting here, and the EVP is of a young girl, and you can hear her saying, "Mommy, help me." And
yeah,
we picked that EVP up in a room that we call Ruthie's room, which we seem to get a lot of yes-no answers. We get flashlights on command, yes-no. And we've actually got a lot of voices of children playing in this one room. So we call it Ruthie's room. There's quite a shocking EVP.
Yeah, I heard it. I actually was very impressed with it. Let me ask something. Does anybody reside there?
No. The building is a 50,000-square-foot warehouse. It was built, like I said, in 1886 as a vegetable, fruit and veg distributorship. And it basically functioned as that up until the 80s when they basically shut the place down. They just abandoned the building and left it as was. I think about 10 years ago, they brought in a very small printing shop. It's called Pirate Printing. They do a lot of paranormal shirts now. Pirate Printing came in, took two rooms of this vast building, and the garage, which is attached to the building, is full of Ben's custom car collection. But I would say, you know, the other four floors in the basement is basically as it was back in the early 1900s. Just abandoned.
Really? It's basically empty?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Just if you both don't mind, just to go back to that channeling question, you had mentioned that there were three individuals that came. I'm curious, yeah, were their stories consistent?
they're channeling. I would say they were almost 90% accurate. There was just a couple of things. They all hit on the young girl getting murdered. They all hit on the exact spot of the murder. They all hit on the floor and the location of the decapitation, the murder. One of them said he reached for the switch and missed.
Did they trans-channel or were they just getting, like, messages?
Sir, I don't know. I just sort of stood there and took notes as they went along and recorded.
Okay,
they all went.
I can lead you on this. When they were channeling, did their mannerisms change? Did they seem like they became the spirit that they were channeling? If they did, then they were trans-channeling. If they were just, like, getting messages, that's just, like, that's a different form of channeling. I'm just curious to know what type that they did, because if they were trans-channeling, then their messages really should be precise.
Right. It seemed more like they would go into a location, walk around, hands held out, eyes closed, walk around, and then come with some advice. And we recorded them, and we wrote it down by hand. And over the time, we matched it all together, and it was like, wow, these guys are good, you know.
Right.
And did you put this on the website? Did you put this on the website as well? No. Okay.
No, because they're pretty well-known individuals, and they really wanted us to keep it low profile. So we have to, you know, honor your wishes. So that's what we did.
So you realized it was haunted pretty much as soon as you got there.
The funny part is the very first time we went up there to do a, quote, investigation, there was only two of us in the group at the time. We got nothing, absolutely nothing. We were in there for 8 hours, and we thought, okay, all we've done all night is talk to ourselves. There's
that
would have
driven me crazy.
Yeah, you know, and it was kind of weird. So what we did was, when we got home the next day, we called the owner, Ben, and we said, hey, Ben, nothing here, dude. You guys are crazy. You're imagining it. We did not get a thing. And he thought that was quite entertaining and funny. He said, why don't you come back one more time? So I'm sure there's stuff here. Because he's witnessed shadow men. He's witnessed a man in a top, in a trilby-type hat coming up the steps. The employees there have witnessed a lady in a Victorian dress. You know, and I'm telling them, I didn't see anything. We went back, and of course, then the whole place went crazy the second time we went back. It's been that way ever since.
What type of haunting have you guys witnessed and documented and stuff like that?
Well, one thing that happens almost every single time that we're there, with a paranormal group or even on our own, footsteps. We hear big, heavy, workman-type boots stomping around. Most of the time they're on the floors above us. Sometimes they're on the same floor we're on. And if you ever, actually it was on today, on Ghost Hunters, they did a marathon today. And it's the chopping block episode is the Bisman building. They also have quite a lot of evidence of these heavy boots stomping around all over the place. EVPs, always get good EVPs. We always get a lot of touching in the basement of the building. There's always clothes being tugged, people getting touched. And in the last 6 months, we've actually started to witness what seems to be something trying to materialize throughout the building.
Really?
It starts to take form, but it doesn't quite get there.
You see it with the naked eye or through cameras?
Naked eye. We took a group of 10 people into the basement. My former partner, one of the tour guides that was with us, she had a group in the basement. I was up on another floor with my group, and she said on the radio, you need to come down one at a time, very quietly, come the long way, because we want to show you something. And it was absolutely amazing. We had a total of 20 people stood in the basement looking down to the other end of the building, and this thing, it was almost there. You could see it. It would move from the elevator shaft over to one of the freezers. It would look back and forth like it was sort of lost, turn around and walk back, and it would repeat that. And it repeated it for probably 15 minutes.
Okay.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing.
So, Ellis, equipment-wise, so you mentioned EVPs. You mentioned, I guess, regular digital cameras. Do you, what else, what other methods do you use?
Personally, I used to use all the, you know, DVR setups, all this and that, but now I've moved more into the promotion side of the business. I usually just take a regular, simple setup with a few K2s, some flashlights, some night vision cameras. I do like to use my trail camera. We're starting to get a lot of fun with the trail camera. It's always interesting. So my equipment, to be honest with you, is sort of very basic, but it does the job.
You know, a lot of times when a place is really haunted, you don't need like all the crazy stuff to get evidence. If the spirits want you to know that they're there, they'll let you know.
The night vision camera, did you get anything spectacular on that? Because we do a lot of things.
Yeah, we get a lot of great stuff with the night vision.
I've had a few decent images come out of that. I'm really impressed when we were trying to capture this thing walking back and forth in the freezer area in the basement. And we had one of the trail cameras, and it was pointing right there. And it's one of those things that drives you nuts. You got 25 photographs up until the point, and when it happens, nothing but white through every other photograph. So it's strange.
That's it. I want to go back to what you were saying before, when you were saying that something's starting to materialize. Now, that leads me to my question of, would you consider...
Well, I saw the whites in your eyes. He got super excited, which means it looks like there'll be a road trip.
Right, there's definitely a road trip. Definitely a road trip. I know some of my team is in the chat room, and they're dying to go. But I want to know if you consider what's manifesting evil. And I ask that because I don't know if you understand what type of energy it takes for a spirit to actually show itself to the naked eye. It takes a tremendous amount of energy. And in my experience as a channeler, as a psychic, as an exorcist, is usually the negative spirits are able to show themselves in as an apparition a lot easier than the good spirits for whatever reason. Would you consider that what you see manifesting as evil?
Well, on the third floor of the building, we have what we call the cage, which used to hold the cigarette back in the day. It is pretty darn evil. The reason Ghost Hunters came to the building and the reason the other shows came to the building was I was physically attacked by a black mass that came flying out of that cage. I just barely saw it coming, and it just took me out. And it hurt me bad
flying?
For many minutes. Sorry?
Did you go flying?
I went down. Well, I passed out. It knocked me out. I went down on my knees.
Nice.
I remember going down on my knees. It felt like I was choking, and then the other person I was with witnessed me pass out, and she said I passed out because I hit my face, my nose, square on the ground. I didn't even put my arms down.
Wow.
And
then
as it came out...
I would say it's evil.
Well, yeah, I believe it is.
what more does it take?
A lot of people have... We get the people that are very sensitive come in. Unfortunately... For me, it's all over the web now. Everybody knows about it. It's all over TV. Everybody knows about it. But before anybody knew about it, we kept it quiet. And if anybody was sensitive or a medium or any of that, they would hate going into that cage on that third floor because there is definitely something bad.
Lock me in that cage. Lock me in that cage.
Ellis, he's completely serious, too.
Let me tell you a little story, Ellis. A few months back, we did an exorcism. But before the exorcism, we were doing an investigation in the house. And Stephanie is a very show-me kind of girl, and she doesn't get excited over little paranormal evidence. It's got to be big for her to get, to even get that twinkle in her eye that she's kind of excited. You know.
Yeah.
So what happened was we were watching the night vision camera, and I said to her, something bad is going to happen. Something bad is going to happen. And being a psychic medium, that's what I'm there for. And I'm a channel and whatnot. So I said, something bad is going to happen. Out of the corner of my right eye, I see this spirit with a machete running from the right side right towards her. And I knew it was going to hit her and she was going to go flying. At that moment, I grabbed her and grounded her. As the spirit hit us, Stephanie, you might want to say what happened.
Well, I think
to you.
I screamed.
You screamed.
I also felt.
Would you like to give a demonstration?
No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't.
No?
Nobody really wants me to either. But I felt the. It was almost like I was electrocuted for a moment, and
right.
I'm not sure if it was the energy from you grounding me or.
Well
if it was
I am. I'm very electric.
Of course you are. Or if it was the combination of the two events, you grabbing me and that actually coming towards me.
I
think I ran out of the room, which is something I normally don't do either.
You did, and then 5 minutes later I channeled that spirit, which was a whole other story. But that's another show. So let's get back to my friend Ellis over here.
This is a normal weekend we have.
Ellis, how many people have been there?
How many what, please?
How many teams have investigated the hotel or the building? I'm sorry.
I would say in the hundreds now. I mean, the first season we started it, they were all from Central Ohio, Cleveland, that sort of stuff. This season we're booked up with people from California, Colorado, Vermont, Mississippi. They're coming from – and Canada. They're coming from – everywhere. We're about half booked for the season, but usually by the end of the year we're going to go from this weekend all the way through the first week of December is usually how we do it, and then we give it a break for us people that live in the north of this country. Gets a little cold and there's no heat in that building, so we have to wrap it up, you know.
So how do the teams contact you who are interested in coming and visiting? And this is for you to throw out there, anyone who is interested listening to us.
Well, it's, again, www.bismanbuilding.com. There's a link down at the bottom. You can go ahead and contact me through that. You can also contact me through goalie41_2000@yahoo.com. But it's best to go through the website. It's easier to get to me. And then what we do is, just like we are here, I'll call them up. We'll chat for a while. I always send a whole bunch of photographs, a whole bunch of EVPs, so you can give them an idea of what's going on. And I also run Haunted Mansfield, Ohio, which is actually a series of 6 different locations within probably 10 miles of each other. Mansfield, Ohio is quite an active location. The most well-known place will be the Mansfield Reformatory, Ohio State Reformatory.
I've heard of that. Before you give us, why don't you tell us the rest of them? You have 6 to tell us. Why don't you tell us the rest of them, then I have a question for you.
Well, we basically got that place. We got the Bisman Building. We got the Renaissance Theater. There's a place called Malabar Farms, which is a famous author's home, and also used in Shawshank Redemption. We have the Firehouse in Mansfield and Brownlea Cottage, which is just outside of Mansfield. It's a haunted cottage, small cottage house. And those locations, what we do is if anybody wants to come, if you guys decide to come from New York, it's a long way to come from New York to Ohio to investigate one building. So
right.
What I've done, and this, we're one of the only places around that do this, you contact me, I will guarantee you 2 investigations minimum. We can go up to 3. In one of those 3 locations, you pick the ones you want. We get you a hotel stay at the Comfort Inn North Mansfield. Check out times like 3 o'clock instead of 11. You know, that these people are all working with us to make Mansfield, Ohio a haunted destination.
Very cool. And of those places, in your opinion, the most haunted or the most eerie?
The most eerie has to be the prison,
the
Ohio State Reformatory. Yeah, I mean, it is the most. I used to be a tour guide up there, And I've witnessed some funky things up there. I've witnessed Shadow Man, and usually the Shadow Man. We've had a few Shadow Men up there, but I think it's going to sound strange because that has the most reputation. But I actually think the Bisman building is the most haunted of this. I mean, it's all the time. You know, you may have a couple of hours where it's quiet, but if you know what you're doing and you know what you're handling, because we do have a little girl in there, and if you start yelling and screaming, she takes off, you know. But if you treat her nice, she will actually, you'll hear her, you'll feel her, you know. But then you get on the third floor. When you walk on the third floor, it's like walking into a swimming pool, and I'm not exaggerating. It's much darker for whatever reason. The air is really heavy, and it sounds like you're in a muffled room, even though the rest of the floor is echo. So that's the floor where you get your activity. If you want to go in there and do whatever you do best, that's the place to go.
What would be the best evidence in any of the places that you find the most noteworthy?
I think in the Bisman building, for example, we've actually, on recordings, picked up the names of many generations of Bismans actually speaking their names. There's one, we had a voice. And again, when I went there and I started, Ben Bisman, the owner, he said, I'm not telling you a thing. I'm not telling you anything. And I would call him up and say, hey, I got this voice. It says Annabella. And then he would get all emotional. And it would be like, oh, my, that's my great-grandmother.
Wow.
You know. And then we got the name.
Cool.
We had one that said, is Ruthie here? The voice actually says, is Ruthie here? So I said, who's Ruthie? And he went, oh, my goodness. Then he told me that story. So that's compelling stuff because the actual spirits are telling us their names.
Now, those are on your website, correct?
I believe they are, yes. I think those are.
Okay. You watched the video clip of his website. I'd just like to talk about that a little bit, Chris.
Yeah, I watched it, and he had four clips from YouTube on the website, and it was from the TAPS team, and it was very impressive. It got me excited to want to go there. You know, I see other teams do things, and then I instantly think that my team could do it better, and I'm sure every team out there, you know, feels the same way. I feel like I'm kind of like the wild card in it because I do all the channeling and whatnot. And I want to go on record to say if we do come there, you can videotape me channeling and I will go into do trans channeling and you can put it on your website because I'll stand by any channeling I do. So you don't have to keep it hidden, all right? You can put it out there, no problem.
Well, we respect each and every person that comes in there. Some people don't want
the
photograph, and that's fine. And, you know, I know there's plenty of paranormal groups out there that try to copyright everything, and they, this is mine, this belongs to me, don't use it. Our approach is completely different. It's like, come on our website, steal whatever you like, as long as you say this came from the Bisman building.
Right.
I have got my name. I took a majority of the photographs, not all of them, but a majority. Most of the EVPs are mine. Take them if you want them, as long as you say where they came from. I don't care less. Just take them, you know,
that's cool.
We do the same thing on our website. We put the EVPs. They're there. Once they're out there, it's in cyberland anyone.
We have some EVPs. You want to talk about chilling? It sounds like human voices. They're so sick, some of them, to the point where you just can't believe what you're getting. We did an investigation on my birthday, December 9th, we went to the Haunted Chandler Hotel, which we're going to again April 2nd, and my first experience in paranormal investigating was with this woman named Debbie Caruso, and she brought me on her team as the psychic medium channeler to help, you know, gather the evidence, which we got plenty of. Anyway, this woman passed away and just recently, and a very good friend of mine. When we went back to that hotel, we got her saying her name five different times. And at one time, now, obviously, I mean, you take EVPs. You know, if you have five EVPs in a room.
Well, five recorders.
Five recorders in a room, you'll get something on one of them. You'll very rare that you that every recorder will pick up the same thing at the precise time. Well, in one room at this place, we got her saying her name, Debbie, in a real deep, hard voice at the exact same moment on both recorders, which really just blew everybody away. So what kind of stuff do you guys have like that? Do you have any teams that have come up there and said, you know what, something crazy happened to me? Do you have any stories like that?
No, we've got tons of them, but I'll keep it short. Let's use the last tour of last season. We had a young girl in there. She's in there with a group. And they start to provoke on the third floor, the site, the decapitation, all the gauges are going weird. And she just said, oh, my gosh, I think I'm going to throw up. So she gets up and goes downstairs with one of the other tour guides. We continue doing what we're doing, just sitting around asking questions. And I think I've got a runny nose. It's pitch dark. So I wipe my nose like it's running, you know. Think nothing of it. I walk downstairs. We get into the light. There's blood dripping from my forehead, and it wasn't my nose running, it was blood coming down the side of my nose. We look at the woman that had to leave. She had three scratch marks down her neck. She was outside throwing up. And then as we're sitting there, this other woman goes, man, my back's burning. They pull up her shirt and there's the three finger marks down the back of her back. Because they were in
there
provoking.
Well, that answers the whole evil question in its entirety.
I got to tell you, Ellis, you're getting my giddy up, and I got to get there.
Giddy up.
Yeah, you're getting my giddy up. I got to get there. I'm psyched.
You know, every show, Chris throws out a phrase that I'm like, where did this one come from? Giddy up.
Getting my giddy up, you know? I'm psyched. I'm excited. And you know what? Let me tell you something. My team is a bunch of psychos and misfits and wackos and everything else. You'll never have a team like my team there.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
You have no idea what you're in for, my friend. You have no clue.
Well, it'll be fun, that's for sure.
It will be.
So, Ellis, just tell everyone, you know, what are you planning future-wise, if you do have, indeed, anything to throw out there to everyone?
Yeah, this is the 125th anniversary of this building. So we're going to try and put together some other stuff. Now, you've got to realize this isn't just about the paranormal. I also help host the historical tours. You know, they put on plays in there. They have meetings in there. So, you know, we basically try to use the space the best we can. We want to do a Bisman Building anniversary party where we're going to invite a bunch of people along. We're very lucky to get national TV shows coming through. All of a sudden, though, a lot of radio shows are wanting to record in there. So
interesting.
That's my next step. Is to figure out how we can do that.
You did mention that you had two other things coming up that you are not at the liberty to disclose right now. So that those presumably are television shows?
Maybe.
You know, I tried to phrase that. I thought I was good, Ellis.
When you sign a contract that says if you say anything, we're pulling it, you're not going to say anything. You know, it could be a comedy show for all you know, but, you know.
Uh-huh.
Just leave it at that. I tell you what, though. When I'm allowed, I will definitely come on, and we will talk about it in depth the day after
it
airs.
Very
no
good.
Matter what
I'm here telling you that Second Sight Paranormal is going to come up there and rock the house. There's no doubt about it.
Probably about
a 10-hour drive. But you know what? We'll do the business building and the reformatory. We'll videotape it.
Being a hostage.
Yeah, it'll kick butt. I'm telling you, it's going to be good.
Like I told you, you can get that hotel stay. It's got a beautiful swimming pool, a sauna, the whole package, and it's much cheaper than any other hotel in the city of Mansfield because they want to work with us. We invited all the staff from this hotel along to come and do these ghost hunts, and including, like, the tourism board. And it scared the living stuff out of all of them, and they were hooked, you know. So, yeah, we'll, you know, don't worry about the 10-hour drive. You can stop every couple of hours and then get yourself a nice hotel when you're here.
So before you mentioned your preference in being contacted, and really you pretty much said, you know, you can go to the website and click on that link, or you can they can email you at Yahoo as well. Could you just mention those details one more time for these folks?
Yeah. The best way, the easiest way is to get hold of us is if you go to www.bismanbuilding.com, B-I-S-S-M-A-N, and there's a link on there to contact us. I think it's like ghosts@hauntedbismanbuilding.com, I think it's something like that. And then that will come to me, or the other way of getting hold of me is goali41_2000@yahoo.com. And either way, just say that, you know, you heard this on your radio show, and we can set you guys up. Like I said, I also run Haunted Mansfield, which is on Facebook as Haunted Mansfield. And we can set everybody up. I mean, we've done – the people that have been through the Haunted Mansfield, the Bismann Building, we have no complaints. I'm not just saying that. People just love the way we do it. And what I try to do is make this the extra step, because I remember being a paranormal investigator and running into really expensive hotel rooms.
Right.
It could be
very, very strict hours on locations. You can't come in before you. You can't do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
well, you're obviously
a lot of
doing a good thing. You're obviously doing a good thing. Mm.
So, Alice, I just want to thank you for coming on. And I just would it be okay if friends of ours friended you on Facebook under the Haunted Bismann Building?
Go
because
under
that is the entity.
Go under the Haunted Bismann Building on Facebook. You can do that. And then there's a whole ton of stuff in there you can look at, even extra to the website.
Because our friends will friend you.
Absolutely.
Our team will friend you. But I'd just like to thank you again. You've been a fantastic guest.
Yeah, very good. Very, very happy with you tonight. You did a great job.
And we will talk to you soon.
We will definitely talk to you soon, and we will be booking our trip soon.
Well, thank you very much, guys, and good luck for the rest of the show.
Wait, before you go, could you just say Yahoo one more time?
No, you didn't.
I did. No, I love it.
What, Yahoo?
Yahoo.com, I love it. You say it perfect. Do it again, please, one more time for me.
Oh, dear. Yahoo.com.
Nice.
Oh, dear.
All right, my friend. You have a great day, and it really was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye. I knew you were going to do that.
I loved it.
I must be psychic.
I never heard it said Yahoo before. I liked it. It was cool.
I lived in London. I'm kind of used to it.
I've been some time in London, too.
Okay, I just want to go into, I think it's an email question.
It is
received.
An email, yes.
It was Dean from Toronto, and his email went like this. I always felt as though I was psychic. Am I? Are there any psychic thoughts about me? I'd appreciate it.
Well, everybody knows that everybody in the world is psychic.
Isn't
or so,
that
or,
the truth?
Or so they believe they are. And we all know that that's not really the case. Anyway, the first thing you need to do is get out of your mind. Let things just happen and stop trying so hard. Negative thoughts will stop any psychic messages you might get. There's an opportunity to release something that no longer fits your life, so that room will be made for the new that wants to appear. This is a very intuitive time for you, so pay close attention to any messages coming in for you. I see an adventure coming up for you too, a trip with some friends. I feel this trip will somehow deepen your spirituality in a way you never expected. This experience will happen in a forest-like setting, and I believe it's on a camping trip. I also feel it's time for you to set some goals and intentions. Then the next year will bring you much growth, both spiritually and psychically. I just hope that you're mentally ready for the changes that are coming.
Okay, hopefully we'll get some feedback. Speaking of feedback, we did receive from last week, which came from Teresa. She wanted to know about her business and what you saw in the future of it, and it was
right.
A dance studio. And she did write back, and she said, Chris, I can't thank you enough for your insightful reading that you gave me. My family has been telling me many of the things that you said in your reading. I guess they were all right. You did say they have my best interest, and I believe that now. Sometimes you need to hear the truth from an outsider for reality to sink in. Thanks again. God bless. And that was from Teresa, which was really nice. And I was hoping to get feedback from Tina, which she had a reoccurring dream about getting pushed into the ocean and a car tipping over and all that. But unfortunately, we didn't get feedback from her.
You know, I think we'll have it by next week. She had a hard time getting on the computer this week, and I'm sure she'll give us some feedback next week.
Yeah, so we're going to go into our newest segment, which is now Rapid Readings, which was formerly the Psychic Minute.
Right.
And Chris.
And I just want to say, one of the people I'm giving a reading to is actually on the line.
Right.
So I'm going to give the reading, and then we'll bring her on, and we could talk a little bit.
And,
okay?
And her name was G-Girl, right?
G-Girl, yes.
Okay.
Okay, are we ready? Everybody strap yourselves in, put your seatbelts on. We're about to take off.
I'm scared.
Yeah. Nothing bad. All right, to Steve from Connecticut, don't make any fast decisions on your job. Things will work themselves out, and you will stay where you are for at least a few more years. To Tom from PA, I see you using the Internet in a big way to better your financial situation. Take a chance. To Amber in South Beach, one word, therapy. To Kathy in Staten Island, continue on the path you're on. I see you opening up more psychically, and self-publishing is coming in very strong for you. Tie up the loose ends. To Andrew from New Jersey, finish what you started. You will get recognition in a big way for doing a good job. Stop procrastinating. To Stephanie from Staten Island, New York, the feeling in the pit of your stomach isn't gas, it's love.
Oh, Lord.
To Esther from Houston, better health coming for you in the next few months. Stay positive and know that things get better. To Miss Martin from Manhattan, this is the last year that you'll have to deal with your big problem. He will be taking a permanent trip down south. Life takes a huge turn for you. It's time to spread your wings and pursue your true life's purpose. To Second Sight NYC, woohoo! You're on the escalator going up. To
Are
Alita,
you trying to sell something here?
I'm trying to sell us. To Alita from Facebook, who really pissed me off this week. You're entitled to your own opinion, even if it is stupid. Just make sure it's an educated one. Dumb is always dumb. And to G-Girl, who's on the line and we're going to take her soon, unemployment will hold you over for a while, but I feel that you will be back to work within the next 6 weeks. When I say within the next 6 weeks, that means it could be tomorrow, it could be next week, it could be within the next 6 weeks. Don't stress too much. You'll be okay. Take the time off to refocus, and don't procrastinate in your search for a new job. Bring her on the line.
Lord. G-Girl, you're on the line with us.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
How are you? Did you hear my reading?
I did. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, so talk to me.
Well, ask her where she's from.
Okay, where are you from?
I'm from California, from the Bay Area.
Another Cali person. Okay, we get a lot of people from Cali listening to the show, which we really appreciate. So talk to me. Well, other than that, what is your question?
What do you see me? Do you see me getting into anything, or what my life theme may be, or is it just the kind of job? Am I just going to get into it? Tie me over until I go into my.
I don't see you getting into anything like career. I mean, like a career, real soon. Within the next 6 weeks, I see a job coming your way, but definitely not the job you want. I think it's going to be about another year and a half to 2 years before you actually settle into a career. I'm not too sure what it's going to be, and this might sound a little bit crazy to you because I really don't know which way you're going, but I think you need to go more towards the teaching thing. I see you in front of people, whether it be kids or adults or young adults, whatever. I see you actually teaching. Now, that doesn't mean teaching like in school. It could be teaching a trade. It could be teaching like when I go up and give lectures in front of people for psychic stuff and whatever. I actually see you up in front of people talking. I don't know if that makes sense to you. And if it doesn't, just remember that I said it because I really feel it's going to happen.
Well, what is it that you do?
Well, before I was laid off, I was a legal assistant at a family law firm.
Okay. I don't see that being your career. If that's what you want to do for your career, I mean, that's great. I don't see that being the be-all and end-all for you. I think there's something bigger for you. I see you in front of a group of people. If you feel like you're not comfortable being in front of a group of people, give it a chance. I think you would absolutely be a natural at it.
Do you see me meeting my husband anytime soon, either?
The old husband question. We get this all the time. Let me ask you something. How old are you?
33.
You're not dating right now, correct?
No.
Okay. I'll tell you what, and you could call us back next month, okay, and let me know if this comes true. Within the next 4 weeks, and that's why I said a month, because within the next 4 weeks, I see somebody coming into your life that's going to really, like, knock your socks off. So keep your eyes open, and I'm not one of these psychics that say, oh, yes, somebody's coming to you. I really see within the next 4 weeks. I like to put a time frame on things so people could call me on it, tell me you were right, tell me you were wrong, you know, tell me I'm crazy, whatever. You can tell me whatever you want to tell me. I really feel that within the next 4 weeks that somebody's going to come into your life, and it's going to be like one of those, you ever hear of a Texas two-step? You're going to take one of those deep breaths and do those two steps backwards. That's what I think is going to happen for you. It's coming, and I really think it's going to be within the next 4 weeks. Now, I need to just say one more thing. Don't stop doing what you do every day. If somebody asks you out tomorrow and you would normally go out with this person, go out with them. Just because I said it's going to happen within the next 4 weeks doesn't mean that you stop living today and tomorrow and the next day, okay?
Okay.
You know, life happen as it's supposed to happen. And within the next 4 weeks, I think somebody's going to just really pop into your life. I'm not going to say it's going to be a husband. I'm saying it's going to be a real meaningful relationship that can possibly turn into marriage.
Okay. Oh, wow. Do you see it, like, correlating with, like, my next job at all, or?
I'm shaking my head yes, but I'm saying no. I don't think it's going to have anything to do with your job.
Okay.
Okay, so hopefully you'll come back to us in a month's time. Good, bad, indifferent. We'd love to hear from you and, you know, always listen to our show as well, and we appreciate you calling in tonight.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, you guys.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay,
so we have a couple things to discuss before we go. We have a few minutes left, and we're going to talk about this Sirius Radio investigation.
Yeah, we have an investigation. The Covino and Rich show, the host of the show is, I think his name is Steve Covino. They've been on Sirius and XM Radio for 7 years. They're kind of like a Howard Stern, Opie and Anthony type show in the afternoon. And Covino believes his house is haunted and he's trying to sell it. So what he wants to do is have our team go in there and do a big investigation where they're going to have it professionally taped and documented and everything. And then the next day we're going to go into the studio and actually talk about our investigation on XM and Sirius Radio, which we're very excited about.
Yeah, as the details become available, we'll post that.
We're thinking it's going to be within the next 3 weeks.
Okay, and upcoming, April 2nd, is the Shanley Hotel investigation, which is in Napanock, New York.
Right, and we, by the way, are located out of New York also, Second Sight Paranormal.
Which is pretty much 2 hours from us. It's an overnight stay. It's about $75 for the
investigation.
And you could always look at the ShanleyHotel.com website to get a look at the place. So that's coming up. And, Chris, I think that wraps up the show for tonight, other than the normal.
Well, we also have a house here in Staten Island, a mansion, a very famous mansion that we really can't name the name of it just yet, but we have another investigation coming up there, which I'm very excited about. Nobody's ever been in this house to do an investigation.
We sure do. That's a lot of things coming up.
Yeah.
What is your message for the week?
My message is this. Do not spoil what you have by desiring what you have not. Remember that what you have was once among the things you only hoped for. Keep your dreams alive. Understand to achieve anything requires faith and belief in yourself, vision, hard work, determination, and dedication. Remember, all things are possible for those who believe. Dreams are like the paint of great art. Your dreams are the paints. The world is your canvas. Believing is the brush that converts your dreams into a masterpiece of reality.
That's very nice. We'll be back here next week, which will be March 2nd, 2011, at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have demonologist Katie Boyd with us, which
is going
to be a great show.
Very famous demonologist.
In the interim, you can always follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Just click follow. I suggest you check out the website, which is secondsightnyc.web.com. We're also on UFOParanormalRadio.com.
That's tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
And just go to the website. Check out the $5
reading
that Chris will give you. And I think that wraps up the show for tonight.
That does. And we're here every week making the unbelievable believable. And may the spirits guide you.
Thank you and good night.